If you would, normally I depart from Hebrews, but today I only have to part from Hebrews to make a point in Scripture. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27, verse 45. Put your finger at Matthew 27, verse 45, but also Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. There are four great events in history. You won't hear this in a secular class in college, high school, or graduate school. There are four great events in human history. One is creation. Today, God's glory has been robbed in what He did in creation. If you go to university, you will never know about creation. You will only know about the lie, the psychological operation, because of the God of this world. You will hear about what they call evolution. It isn't true. It's dumb. But they have robbed God of His glory from creation by substituting it with a lie. It's interesting. Charles Darwin, that invented it, was put in Westminster Abbey. John Knox, the great Presbyterian reformer, is buried in a parking lot in Scotland. And they have a little plaque while the cars go over him. Shows you, and Darwin did more damage to the Christian church than any other figure. God has been robbed from glory in creation. The next great event was the fall. That robbed God of His glory, for man went from fellowship with God to alienation from Him. Everything you see today is due to the fact all the evil in this world, including all the wars, because of the second great event in human history, and that was the fall. But, if I may say, there is in this world a great chess game that is going on. You may look at the creation and the fall as the opening moves of a chess game. Between whom are the players? Well, God, who cannot be defeated, has been challenged by someone who thinks he can outsmart God. That's what's going on today. God creates the world. Satan in the fall robbed God of His glory. But on the cross, the third great event happened in this chess game, where God will not lose, is that God checked Satan in the third great event of history. And that is redemption. All the damage that Satan had caused in the fall has been checked by God through redemption. One last event that will come. One final checkmate in this great chess game will be Jesus Christ's return, in which it will be, in that grand chess game, checkmate. We live between the third and the fourth great moves of this chessboard. In chess, you have to think ahead. Satan was arrogant enough to think he thinks he can think ahead of God. Think ahead of God. He will not be able to do that, for God has already checked him, and checkmate comes. But I want to talk about, when we celebrate communion, We are celebrating God's redemption and checking of Satan in his plan. It happened 2,000 years ago that God on the cross, by the way, Jesus said to Satan, to Satan through Pilate, "The hour and the power of darkness are yours," just before he went to the cross. In that chess game, God is so powerful that he said, "Okay, Satan, you can move." Satan put Jesus upon the cross, thinking that by killing Messiah, he could defeat God's plan of redemption. And what he found out was when Jesus said, "It is finished," instead of God being checked, Satan found out, whoops, bad move, he had been checked. And there is a marker in history of this great move. In Matthew 27, verse 45, there are some events that get little attention when God checks Satan in redemption. "Now from the sixth hour, noon, darkness fell upon the land until the ninth hour." This was not an eclipse. This was not a natural event. God took the lights and put them out. This would have been very, very scary. There was darkness on all the land. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?'" Eli means, my God, lama, why have you forsaken me?" And Satan thought, "I have checked God. I have defeated in that move." And some of them there who were standing there when they heard it said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge. He filled it with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave him a drink. And the rest of them said, "Let's come and see whether Elijah will rescue this guy." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice. Matthew does not record what John said Jesus said at this point. "It is finished." The term that Jesus used was used on bills. Have you ever gotten a bill? And you owe. You owe, so it's off the work you go. You know, you owe. But isn't it great? I remember seeing those after Rachel's wedding, the bills. Who made up this idea, by the way, that the bride's parents have to pay? Who makes these rules? Well, it's a tradition. Who makes these rules? I talked to the florist that Rosemary, and he told me in his country, it's the groom's parents that have to pay because the bride is considered to be a reward to the groom. I've applied for citizenship in that country. But when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," that was used on all bills in Rome. And what it meant was when they would put in Greek on the papyrus when the bill was paid, "It is finished." Today, when you get a bill, and they stamp it when you've paid it, it says this, "Paid in full." And I could just see the look, although I don't know if he has a face, he can take physical form, of Satan as God in this chess game. Jesus cried out right after, my God, have you forsaken me? The victory cry, it is paid in full. Every one of all sins through the blood of Jesus Christ were fully and completely paid. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, when He cried that out, your account of debt was completely paid in full. Now there's coming a time in which God is going to shout, checkmate. And that's when Jesus Christ returns. He's going to grab the beast, whoever that is, and He's going to grab the enemy of God, and He's going to cry, checkmate. And off they go, will never be seen again. But in communion, we celebrate the fact that God checked Satan. And when he cried out, it is finished. It was paid in full. And in verse 50, it says, and he yielded up his spirit. But something also very, very interesting that you need to know about happened, that is overlooked. And it says in verse 51, once he said it is paid in full, and behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, we're going to have to learn the furniture business. My dad was in the furniture business. I need to get very soon for our study of Hebrews the layout of the tabernacle and the temple in terms of the holy place and the holy of holies. Now, let me tell you something that may surprise you. Herod the Great took the temple that was rebuilt. For those of you who are in our Wednesday night study, when we get there, if we get there, in 516, the Jews rebuilt their little temple after the destruction of the first one. It sat there for 400 years, and it was this little temple, wincy, wincy little temple compared to Solomon. And so Herod in 20 BC started rebuilding the temple for the Jews because they didn't like him, so he was trying to do something for them. Oh, please like me. So he began to rebuild the temple. And the rebuilding went from 20 BC to 63 AD. That means when Jesus was walking in the temple, they were still reconstructing it. It took that long to make it into the most magnificent structure in the Middle East. He really threw gold and silver and tapestry. And one of the great things that cost him mucho dinero, a lot of bucks, was something that was needed. You like that one, huh? Was something that was needed because in the furniture of the tabernacle, there were two rooms that no one could get into. No average Joe and Josephine could ever get near it. Were the inner part of the temple called the holy place and the holy of holies. You had to be a priest. And you had to be not only a priest, you had to be the high priest to get in there. Now some of the priests could get into the holy place because they had to change out the bread and fix the lights. But I'll tell you something. Nobody, no Joe and Josephine, no Levite, except once a year, the high priest had to get all washed and decked up. And he'd walk in there, and Herod had built this beautiful, to separate the holy place from the Holy of Holies, he built this horribly expensive piece of tapestry that was absolutely beautiful. I mean, it was high quality and it was thick. They spared no expense for this beautiful tapestry that separated the holy place. The holy place will have the showbread. It will have the menorah. By the way, the Star of David is not a part of Israel. It was the menorah, never the Star of David. They didn't get the Star of David from the Old Testament. I don't know where that came from, but that is not anchored in the Word of God. And they would, the menorah and that, and separating it, and in this other area is this huge curtain. And it would take a lot of effort. Can you imagine holding the blood on the Day of Atonement, and you've got to sit there with this huge, thick tapestry, walk around it while you got hyssop and the bowl of blood, and you come up, but there was no Ark of the Covenant. In Jesus' day, the Ark of the Covenant was bye-bye. They would move, the high priest with his hat and his clothes would move this thick thing. And there would be a rock. A rock where the Ark of the Covenant once stood. And when they would sprinkle the blood, it was never on the Ark, because at the capture of Jerusalem, who knows what happened to the Ark? Raiders of the Lost Ark, they're still looking for it. Some think it's in Ethiopia. I don't care if they ever find it. Because the Ark of the Covenant symbolized God's presence with His people. But notice what separated God's presence with His people. The veil. And you had to be a priest. High priest. And they would take and pull that thing back, and he would take the hyssop and throw it on the rock. Can you imagine how bloody that rock must have looked? It was just a rock where it used to stand. They never knew what happened to the ark, so they just threw it on the stone. And then they'd come back after the basin was empty, and he'd have to go like this, this big, thick thing. Huge, no expense spared to do this, man. Beautiful. Look what happened when Jesus cried out, "It is paid in full." Look what it says. And behold, the veil that Herod had made, that beautiful veil, was torn in two from top to bottom. Now look what happened. Jesus cries, "It is finished." All of a sudden, this huge, beautiful, thick tapestry that separated everyone from the presence of God, all of a sudden, from top to bottom, falls like this. And there is the Holy of Holies, fully open for all to see. And I can tell you what happened at that point because of our study of the book of Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 7. Excuse me, chapter 9. In this grand game of chess, when Jesus said, "Paid in full," the historic event of redemption happened. And Hebrews 9:11 through 14 tells us exactly what happened. Look what it says. "But when Christ appeared as our high priest," we don't need any, listen to me, you only have Jesus as high priest. You do not need no clergy. when they dress up in robes and put all sorts of jewelry on themselves, reject that. That's why I will not wear a suit. It's priesthood of all believers. He made us, it says in 1 Peter, a kingdom of priests. You don't need no guy with some magic juju going like this. He can't do anything. That's Satan trying to counteract what God did. Your great high priest, whom you serve as a kingdom of priests, entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle. Did you know we're going to find out from Hebrews that there's an actual temple in heaven? Go figure. I can't figure this out. That temple in Jerusalem was merely a cheap copy. An object lesson. And the moment Jesus Christ said, paid in full, He went into the real Holy of Holies. He entered more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, not of this creation, and not through the blood of bulls and of goats. That's so yesterday. That's so, it's like a huge flannel graph is all that was. An illustration. And it would insult the blood of Jesus Christ ever to have someone think that reviving bulls and goat sacrifices could ever do what Jesus Christ's blood did. It's what the Hebrews were going to do. We'll go back to the Old Testament. We'll go back to that old high priest of the Old Covenant. What did the writer to the book of Hebrews say? The Old Covenant is what? Obsolete. What? Disappearing. Let the Word of God correct all theology. Not through the blood of bulls and of calves, but through His own blood, He entered the holy place once for all. That cancels all sacrifice right there. Once for all. It's finished. Greek is very strong here. Once for all. That's why we're against when somebody says they do some magic jumbo and re-offer Christ. You want to make a bet? You want me to lie to you or tell you the truth? I'm no diplomat. Jesus Christ took that blood to the real tabernacle in heaven once for all. It's over. Redemption. Check. And at that moment, when Jesus cried, "It is finished," that veil, in that physical representation, that flannel graph, got ripped in half to symbolize, listen to me, you know what that symbolizes when the veil was ripped? You now, because of Jesus, have direct access into the Holy of Holies yourself. You don't need no preacher. You don't need no priest. They dress up in those robes to make you think they have some authority. They don't. Your Savior walked in as high priest once for all in the true tabernacle and gave you permanent access so that when you bow your head or whatever you do, whether you're washing the dishes or you're in the bathroom, guess what? You have instant access to the Holy of Holies. It is, don't let these preachers and these priests play games with you. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and ashes and of heifers sprinkle those who have been defiled, sanctify, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish, cleanse you from sin? When that veil ripped, no more priests. And I like what Jesus did. You know what God did to make sure of that? Once Jesus Christ made the true redemption, all of which were flannel graphs, what did God do next in the great moves of history? He took the physical temple out. Jesus said, "The hour is coming, Naam," to that Samaritan woman, "when you won't need to worship in Jerusalem. You will worship in the Spirit and in the truth." Amen. Jesus entered the real tabernacle. And the veil of the flannel graph broke in two. And you can walk with Jesus as He intercedes for you into the Holy of Holies, because it's been paid in full. There is no sin that God cannot cleanse. It's been paid in full. It was no accident that that temple with its veil ripped. What do men do? They become influenced by Satan and they try to put that veil up again. You need somebody who's got magic juju to get you inside to the presence of God. Nuts! You are a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Jesus, you may walk in with the Lord Jesus, the high priest, into the very presence of God. That's what we celebrate this morning.